rebound laid off the miss on the second attempt from Burrell, and she will dribble into the front court. The shot clock is off. The Valkyries don't need the shoot. Valhalla rising as one as they see another Valkyries victory, 72-59. The Valkyries take the season tiebreaker and have eighth place all to themselves in the WNBA standings.
This is San Jose Jazz fan, and I wake up with the Morning Joes, Spadoni and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. They're doing a great job.
No Spadoni today. It's Grandy in alongside Shasky, as always, here on the Morning Roast. Yeah, that highlight you heard, Kevin Dana calling a Valkyries win on Saturday. Valkyries back in action again tonight at 7, taking on the Connecticut Sun. You can hear the game right here on 95.7 The Game and on the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. Just download the app and search Valkyries. You can also watch the game on KPIX. Pre-game starts at 6:30. Brought to you by the San Francisco Sheriff's Office. Your future begins here. Another big game coming up for the Valkyries. They got that huge win on Saturday, and good to see that. And speaking of the Valkyries and KPIX, Matt Lively of KPIX will join us coming up at 9 o'clock today. We had the Valkyries on Saturday. We had the Giants on Saturday, and we had the Niners on Saturday. Valkyries, the only team that got a win. But the Niners playing in a preseason game, wins and losses might not matter that much. But entertainment factor, also not very much there, Shasky. For a Niners preseason game where, who is the biggest star on the Niners side that played in that game? Biggest name on the Niners that played
Mac
in that
Jones,
game?
Mac Jones, maybe?
Probably.
In terms of, like, name recognition?
Yeah, probably Mac Jones, just because he's the quarterback.
I mean, the Giants. The Niners got a safety on Saturday.
Yeah.
The Giants scored 2 runs Saturday and Sunday combined.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
A safety. Okay. We'll get into the Giants in a second because there's some stuff going on with them, and they just totally missed on their opportunity. And, like, they should be kicking themselves. I also heard from a high-ranking Giants official that they get a kick out of all my videos, and they said, there are no lies when it comes to my rants and my opinions regarding the Giants. And there are some guys that are just so overpaid.
It's a mic drop.
That I've been crushing. But there's one guy in particular who's just flying under the radar. We'll get to in a second. But on the preseason football thing, I don't have the answer, right? Like, anytime we bring up preseason football, there is the always, well, you could get a guy hurt.
Wait, okay, the 415 on the Boxer or on the text line here, the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line says, would you be happy if they played and a starter was injured? Is that worth it to you?
I want everyone to know something. This is the only sport where to be a football player, you could do a million drills. You can do 7-on-7s. You can do 1-on-1s. You cannot replicate 11-on-11 without either a joint practice where you're actually tackling to the ground, which they don't do in the joint practice, they thud, or a preseason game. That is how you prepare to play football. Now, do these other things that you do help you be a better football player? Yeah, no doubt. But to play football, you can't just go 3-on-3. Like in basketball, you can go 3-on-3, you can go 5-on-5. You can do 1-on-1s. You can do a lot of different things. Baseball, you can go into the cage. You can simulate at-bats. You can have a pitcher throw to you. You can have ground balls
hit
at you.
It's so much more individualized.
Absolutely. Yeah. To replicate football, you need 11-on-11. It's the only way. And you have to have full tackling, right? So you have to build up a callus. That's number one in terms of the hitting,
yeah,
and all that. You need to build up the rhythm, the ballet, if you will, the footwork, spacing on defense, how to read gaps, things like that. Tackling to the ground, right? There's elements of that. You know, you heard Fred Warner during the broadcast. I'm like, yeah, bring someone down to the hip. So I think the game is violent inherently. That is part of the game. It is a violent game where people go down. People go down to practice. People go down in the regular season. I just believe to get ready for the season, you got to play some football. I'm not saying you got to play 3 quarters. I'm not even saying that you got to play a whole quarter. But there's something to be said for feeling good about yourself. In 2023, I remember Brock and the entire offense went out there in the 3rd preseason game and played like 3 series. And they went boom, 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 all the way down the field. And CMC, you know, got some touches, looked good. Debo did an end around. Brock made some throws, and we ended it on a high note, and we felt great. heading into the year. And I thought that carried over into the regular season. Now, maybe that's their game plan. We're going to play everybody in that third preseason game 2 weeks before regular season one. But, like, even then, I just ask Niner fans, do you want Trent Williams to play? Because I've got friends like, dude, no, he can't play at all. Because if he goes down and we're forced to see Spencer Burford at tackle, we're done.
Well, and I know you at least agree with that part of it. You agree with Trent's importance.
Oh, I'll get to that.
But do you want Trent to play? Are you willing to put up with that risk for him specifically?
Yeah, it's all or nothing.
Well, I'm not playing Brock if Trent's not playing.
So this is where the domino effect happens. So let's say you don't play Trent. Well, you watch Mac Jones running for his life with Spencer Burford.
Oh, no. That guy we just signed to a $53 million per year contract? No, I'm not putting him out there unless the star left tackle is there.
100%, right? And so I also would want George Kittle to play.
Absolutely.
Because I want him to build up some rhythm and some timing and all that. I understand I'm introducing the risk of injury. I totally acknowledge that. And it's easy for me to sit here and say, play everyone, and then, you know, like Michael Vick gets hurt in the preseason and your season's cooked, right? I get that.
Yep.
Can also happen at practice. You know, Teddy Bridgewater got hurt at practice. It could also happen in the regular season. You know, Brandon Ayuk, who works his butt off, got hurt week six and is in big trouble. I don't have the answers. I just know this. What I watched on Saturday is not real football for the majority of the guys getting ready for real football.
I don't know what the right answer is. Like,
I don't either.
What if I were to ask you, would it be better for the NFL to mandate that starters play X amount of snaps or drives in the preseason? They have to play at least a drive in every preseason game.
Suggestible.
Is it better to mandate that, or is it better to just kill the entire preseason?
I don't know.
And go with as many joint practices as you possibly can.
Mm.
And when week one of the regular season comes around, that's your official jumping off point. You don't have any preseason.
Look, if you're not going to play anyone in these preseason games, number one, stop charging full price. That's number one. Yeah. And number two, like, then turn on the YouTube and let us watch joint practices as a fan base. That's what the Packers did. They turned on the YouTube.
They broadcast the full joint practice.
They streamed their joint practice, and they gave you some sort of low-budget broadcast. And, like, that's what the people want to see. My boys want to see Trent Williams. They want to see George Kittle. Not that they want to see, Brock Purdy. Is Brock Purdy good? They know Brock Purdy's good, but they just want to see the team. There's a fervor for all of the stuff Niner-related. They want to see...
Such a market for that.
Exactly. We just want to see what Alfred Collins looks like, whether it's in practice or these preseason games.
I haven't been able to see Mykel Williams with my own two eyes yet.
Exactly.
Because I haven't been able to get down there.
There's a fascination.
I would love to see Mykel Williams.
Like, there's a reason why these Instagram videos of, like, a wide receiver...
Oh, they blow
slow-mo
up.
Catching a ball.
The Upton Stout pass breakup or interception the other...
How many
last
millions
week?
Of views did that get?
Oh, my God. I mean, it might have been pass interference, too. But, like, still, it doesn't matter. Niner fans eat that. Any fan base eats that up.
So, I think the fans getting kind of screwed throughout the preseason. And I'm not sure that the players, like, I don't know. I don't know what the players want to get out of it. I don't know what the coaches want to get out of it. It seems like every coach has a different prerogative. You know, Andy Reid, he likes the preseason games but doesn't like joint practices at all. He doesn't want you to get a look at his back of the end roster guys at all. So he does no joint practices. Whereas Kyle's like, I like joint practices, but for one day only. But I don't like the preseason games. So everyone's got these crazy prerogatives on it. I don't have the answer.
You know what's crazy now is I saw there were like members, scouts, or representatives for like six or seven different other NFL teams that were in attendance for Niners Broncos. Because you're getting an eye on back end of the roster guys that are going to get cut, and you want to have an idea of who you might want to sign back. So it's crazy the way that the game works at this level at the NFL, even for back end of the roster guys who are playing in the preseason, will not make the Niners roster, but might be wanted elsewhere. We will continue to get to that. CG, I see you on hold. We'll get to your call when we come back as well. What is the solution for preseason? Should the NFL mandate playing starters a certain amount of snaps? Should we just kill the preseason entirely, which is probably where we're headed, to be honest, as the regular season continues to expand?
I'm way more open to that than I ever been.
All right.
Because college football seems to kind of have their finger on it, where it's like, hey, we just start. Let's just go. Maybe we do some joint practices. You put those on YouTube. We film them. Everyone can, like, pick them apart and look at them all. Yeah. And, like, just so be it. What are you hiding, too? That's the thing I don't understand for practice. What are you hiding? There's no secret plays. You can do those during the regular season.
Yeah, just don't call them.
But also, like, maybe you have certain points of the game. When you run a secret play, a quote-unquote secret play, the Broncos see it, too. Right, at joint practice. Yeah. They are filming practice as well, and they're going to get access to said film. So I don't understand the secrecy. I don't get what we're trying to hide.
We'll get to that when we come back. But first, it's time for the Golden State Valkyries' strongest player of the game, brought to you by El Camino Health. Our strength, your health. The Valkyries picked up a big 72-59 win over the LA Sparks on Saturday night. Veronica Burton led the Valks in scoring with 16, including this monster three in the third quarter.
Before it crosses the sideline, Burton across the timeline, right side. The hand back from Rupert, fires a three, drills it! 51-43, a straight-on triple, makes it an 8-point Valkyries lead.
Huge, huge win for the Valkyries. That gave them the tiebreaker versus the Sparks. The Valks are the 8 seed. That's the last team that makes the postseason. And the Sparks right behind them. But now the Valkyries have the tiebreaker there.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
The Valkyries' strongest player in the game, brought to you by El Camino Health. Our strength, your health. And what's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. What is the solution to the preseason doldrums in the NFL? It's Shasky and Grandy with you on the Morning Roast. We'll continue to get to that when we come back. Plus, the Giants, a really disappointing weekend at home versus the Nationals. All that and more is coming up here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game.